We're singing to the Lord this morning as Mary Lou Inks joins us to share a powerful song.
Plus, the Good Food Kitchen is serving up a healthy but still delicious carrot cake. Melvin Warfield Jr. joins us with more grace points. And John Bradshaw shares a devotional.
Stay with us. Good morning and welcome to Wake Up With Hope. You know, this morning we are celebrating one of God's most amazing gifts, and that's parents.
That's right,
Mom
friends.
Mom and Dad.
Today is National Payback Your Parents Day, and we're tagging along to remember the incredible gift parents truly are.
Yes, so true. Even before a child is born, parents are working diligently to make sure the baby will have everything it needs when it finally makes its grand debut.
And after a baby is born, they're changing diapers, feeding the baby, clothing it, providing shelter, and everything the baby needs.
And as the child grows, the parents don't back off. They're still there guiding, directing, and providing.
And even into adulthood, friends, our parents have played an amazing and supportive and important role. How could we ever pay them back?
I don't know. They've done so much. You know, we never truly could. But today, take a stab at it. Celebrate National Pay Your Parents Back Day by doing some of their chores. Give them a gift, a cash gift, or finding some other way to lighten their load.
That's right. A good parent is a small reflection of God. He is our protector, our provider, and the good shepherd. Always taking care of us.
I like that. So take time today to thank him too for the ultimate parent that he is. Well, let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history in 1945, 24 high-ranking Nazis went on trial in Nuremberg, Germany for World War II atrocities. The historic trials conducted by an international tribunal from the U.S., Soviet Union, France, and Great Britain were the first of their kind. The defendants faced charges including crimes against peace, war crimes, and crimes against humanity. Presided over by British Justice Geoffrey Lawrence, the trial spanned 10 months and 216 court sessions.
Just as the Nuremberg trials brought justice to those responsible for unimaginable evil during World War II, the Bible assures us that ultimate justice is coming for Satan and all the forces of darkness. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10 declares that Satan, the deceiver, will be thrown into the lake of fire where he will face eternal judgment. So no matter how powerful evil may seem, God's justice will prevail, and Satan will be held accountable for the pain and suffering he has caused. And as we wait, we can find hope and strength in knowing that God is in control and that justice will be fully realized, well, in his perfect timing. You know, Satan's defeat is certain, and in Christ, we have the assurance of victory and eternal peace. So friends, hold on to that hope, for the day of judgment will bring not only justice, but also the fulfillment of God's promise of redemption and restoration for his people.
Amen and amen to that.
Yes.
Well, carrots promote healthy vision. They help balance our blood sugar, lower cancer risk, help with blood cancer regulation, support immunity, and boost brain health. And did I mention they're delicious? Especially as we are making them this morning, it's time for carrot cake from the Good Food Kitchen.
I'm going to show you the most amazing sweet that sells really well in my cafes from the Revive Cafe Cookbook number 6. And that is a carrot and ginger cake with orange icing. So we're going to fire in 1/4 cups of cashew nuts. We're going to put in some rice malt syrup. This will kind of help bind it together. We're going to put in 1/4 cup. We're going to put in 3 tablespoons of orange juice. And we're going to put 2 tablespoons of lemon juice. I'm going to add some ginger puree. And that is the icing. We're going to blend that up and see what happens. Let's move over to the base of the carrot cake. We're going to use a food processor for this, and we need 2 cups of grated carrot. 1.5 cups of rolled oats, 1/2 cup of coconut, 1/2 cup of dried cranberries, and 1/2 cup of sultanas, 1/2 cup of chopped date. And we're just going to add a touch of water and let's blend it all up. We have this wonderful carrot cake mix. Check that out. And we're just going to pour this mixture into here. Press it down as firm as you can. And of course, we've got our icing ready to go. Pour it on top. So after this, what we want to do is we want to put it in the freezer for probably around about an hour. So this is firmed up really nicely. Look at that. And that's ready to just put on a plate. And on top, we'll put some walnuts on. And there you have one amazing, delicious whole food carrot cake.
The mystery of the Incarnation is evidence that the impossible is nothing for God. He became flesh to save you and me, and if He'll do that, what won't He do? You're never so far that God can't reach down and transform your life. Let's explore this more on today's episode of Grace Points with Melvin Warfield Jr.
When I was a kid, one of my favorite superheroes of all time was Superman. Now, I get it. Superman has one of the worst stories ever because his secret identity is just dumb. I mean, you put on glasses and you take them off and we're supposed to, like, not realize that Clark Kent is Superman. I know, it's dumb. It doesn't make sense. Spider-Man covers his face. Iron Man covers his face. Batman covers half of his face. Superman just takes off his glasses. I know, it's dumb. But I loved Superman as a kid. I loved watching the old one in the 50s with George Reeves. I loved Christopher Reeve in the 80s and even the new Superman movies and you know, TV shows and all that stuff. Like, I loved Superman. I even have a Superman action figure collection. Don't judge me. It's boxed up somewhere in storage. But still, I have one because I love Superman. And what was most frustrating for me as a child watching the Superman movies was Superman 2. You know, the one with General Zod. Because in that movie, Clark Kent, Superman, gives up his powers for Lois Lane. Didn't make sense to me. I couldn't understand how Superman, who has super strength, super speed, heat vision, and super breath, and can fly. Like, that was my favorite power. Superman could fly. When I was a child, my dad had this red shirt and I would put it on and button the top button and just jump off of furniture like it was a cape. Side note, don't do that. You can get in trouble with your parents. But still, I love doing it because flight was like the power I wanted to have. And you're telling me that Superman's gonna give up all of that for Lois? Now, go with me on this. I get it, for all you hopeless romantics, this made sense to you, but for me it didn't. Because as a child, I didn't understand how someone so powerful would give up all of that for love. On top of that, Lois isn't the most beautiful person in the entire world. She's always getting herself in trouble. I just didn't understand it. I thought, you could do better, Superman. And then as an adult, I realized that's what God does for us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 and on says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the cross, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of the things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Whew, that's a mouthful. One of the most powerful scriptures in all of the Bible, that Jesus thought it not robbery, being equal with God, to condescend, to become human, to take on flesh and to endure the death of the cross. I had a problem with a comic book character giving up fake powers for Lois Lane. And I celebrated the real, omnipotent, perfect God giving up heaven and condescending and wrapping himself in flawed flesh to save me. And I'm not the best looking person in all the world. I'm always getting myself in trouble. I'm always making mistakes. God, you could do better. And he chooses to save the likes of us by becoming, God became flesh. That's what we celebrate in this season of incarnation, that the Word became flesh, that God became a baby. He dragged himself through the sludge of humanity and came to rest in a manger and served himself to us so that we could have a right to the tree of life. That's the impossible part of this whole season, that God would give up himself for people like us. And he does it because of love. That ought to remind you that nothing is impossible, that God does impossible things. That the story of the incarnation is God giving up his throne, his power. He steps into humanity so that we could be saved. And now we celebrate it, that Jesus is Lord. And every tongue confesses to the glory of God the Father. I don't know about you, but that encourages me today. It encourages me to know that nothing is too hard for God, and I'm never too far gone that God can't redeem, and that God became flesh, the impossible. God became flesh and dwelt among us, and now desires to live in you. Will you let Jesus in today? I pray you'll be reminded of just how valuable you are in the sight of God, and that you'll live a life worthy of the gifts you've received in Jesus Christ. Anyway, this is the season for impossible things. I look forward to seeing you next week. This is Grace Points. God bless you.
Are you enjoying our show today, friends? Send us a message on Facebook and let us know your favorite part. We love hearing from you.
And don't forget to share us with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup.
Plus, search for us on our YouTube channel and check us out there.
Mary Lou Ings blesses us in song when we return. Stay with us. Psalm 96, verse 1 says, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth." We're singing to the Lord this morning as Mary Lou Ings shares the song, "Sing to the Lord." Friends, be sure to visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more inspiring content.
And search for us on YouTube to check out our channel and keep up with us.
We now have to take a short break, but stay with us. After the break, we will have today's devotional thought by Pastor John Bradshaw. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, friends. John Bradshaw from It Is Written is with us today to share a devotional thought.
It is really good to be with you today. I hope things are well with you, that you're looking forward positively. If there's something in the background dragging you down, a weight you're carrying, a burden you're carrying, I want to encourage you by letting you know that Jesus says, cast all your cares upon Him. He will care for you. It doesn't always mean He'll cure the illness right away or get you out of that bind right away, but He will get you through. He will get you through, and today's that day that you're going to say, He'll get me through. This is a little startling. In fact, it might not be that easy to listen to. 55-year-old woman went to her doctor, and she was given some news that she was not expecting. She had been in otherwise good health, nothing obviously wrong, no cause for concern, nothing out of the ordinary. Doctor told her, 55 years old now, you have incurable pancreatic cancer. There's nothing we can do for you, and you're going to die. Well, you can imagine that turned her world upside down. She had two children, two sons, one 36, the other 27. She said, I'd never seen my 36-year-old son so broken in all of his life. She said, the 27-year-old, when he looked at me, would just cry uncontrollably. Whenever he saw me, he'd just break down and cry. You can understand why, right? Their mother, whom they loved, was told that she was on the way out, that they were not prepared. There was no reason that they would think that this was going to be so. So what did she do? Well, she told her extended family. She told her friends. She started going through her stuff, getting her affairs in order. She started planning a funeral. Now, I wouldn't recommend this. In fact, I would strongly not recommend this, but being of the persuasion she was and living in the country where she lived, she even began to make inquiries about what they now call assisted dying. It used to be called assisted suicide, which is what it is, but assisted dying. So now she was looking into taking steps to end her own life. A rough place to be. I don't want to pass judgment upon the woman. I'm hopeful I wouldn't do that. Hopeful you wouldn't do that. But here she was, 55, good health, two kids. They loved her. They adored her. She had lots and lots and lots of reasons to be around and lots of people who valued her. She was told, it's over. Whew, imagine getting news like that. Now, I know people get news like that. It's not the first time it's happened, nor will it be the last. But then something happened. She got in touch with her doctor's office again, and they said, this is 1 week later, they said, oh, we're sorry, there's been a mistake. You don't have pancreatic cancer at all. Somehow we gave you the results of somebody else's test. You're fine. Well, what do you feel at a time like that? Emotions are swirling around. Great relief. Now you get to tell your boys and the rest of your family, I'm not going to die. It's a cause for celebration, a celebration you shouldn't be having, but it's a cause for celebration. And then at the same time, you're profoundly aware that somebody else is just about to get the news that you got and go through that same tailspin that you went through. And so she was relieved, but she was kind of angry, and she wanted to know how a medical place could make that kind of mistake. But mistakes happen. My wife went for a very routine checkup, just the sort of thing you ought to do from time to time. And she got a phone call saying, hey, I hate to tell you this, but you've got, honestly, I do not remember what it was, but it wasn't a serious disease. It was just a thing that the doctors wanted to have a look at. And she was concerned. She thought, well, that's weird. Why would I have this thing? And if I could remember, I'd tell you, because she didn't have it. On Monday, she called the office, and the office said, yep, we got it right here, blah, 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 and didn't say, my wife said, well, what about the thing? And they said, no, there's no thing. Well, hang on. A few days ago, you told me I had the thing, whatever the thing was. Oh, we're sorry. We must have read somebody else's results to you. She wasn't told of anything deadly, but she was told wrong, and that was kind of disturbing and distressing. And so this happens. But here's what we know. Here's what we know. As difficult as it is to really internalize this, the fact of the matter is that the entire world is under a death sentence. And that's not God arbitrarily saying, I'm going to get you. That's not how God rolls. That's God saying, I have a perfect plan for you, but you've stepped outside my will and drunk from the poisoned chalice of sin, and now you're infected. God is saying, there's a way out for you, though. There's a way out for you, though. But so many people don't want that way out. Look at God like he's the bad guy, like the plan of salvation is some kind of curse. Why should there be sin in the world? And how dare you tell me that I'll be lost? God is saying, no, no, I've done everything in my power to see to it that you'll be saved. I want you to know that today. God has done everything in his power so that you can avoid negative eternal consequences. What do you mean? Well, as the old hymn says, Jesus paid it all. Jesus bore our sins in his own body on the cross, according to the word of God. So God gives us hope. God says, you've got this thing hanging over you, but there's a way out. And too many of us, we're like people inside prison cells, refusing to come out, even though the door is open. Challenge is this. Many people say, well, if I were to become a Christian, then I'd have to stop this, stop that, stop this, stop that, give this, don't do this, don't do this, do that. How about you just back up for a moment and don't worry about that? How about you say that to be a Christian is to accept Jesus? And when you accept Jesus in your life, this sets in motion a whole new chain of events and circumstances. Well, are you telling me, preacher, that I don't have to give up? No, no, I'm just not talking about the giving up and the taking on board. I'm talking about putting the horse before the cart, right? And saying the first thing is to recognize that Jesus gives you life, and then you say, well, I would like that. I would like everlasting life. I would like to be with my family, those I love forever. I would like to be in the presence of God forever, in a place where there's no illness and no hate and no injustice and no malice. I would like that. I'd like not to die at 40 and that be it, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, and that be it. I'd like my life to really mean something in eternity. Now, I want to read something to you. It's from the book of Romans. We start in Romans 8 and verse 1. Oh, I love this verse, even though it's not the verse we're going to focus on. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 2, look at this. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Before Jesus, there's this law Paul refers to, the law of sin and death. But you involve Jesus in your life. You invite Jesus into your heart and you become subject to a whole new law. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. How'd you like to experience that? And you may. Yeah, sin is in the world. It affects all of us. We have no hope except in Jesus. And why? Because he bore our sins and as a result gives us his righteousness. You accept that today. And you're now under a new law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And then you have everything to look forward to. I'm hoping for you that you will have a great day. May God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor John.
And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. And if you'd like to learn more about our program, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to join us tomorrow. We'll have a devotional thought and many more special segments to share with you. If you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Well, friends, we can't leave without sharing our daily Bible promise. And today's promise comes from Psalm chapter 37, verse 4.
This is one of my favorites, friends. It says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart.
Mm-mm-mm. That is a sure promise. As we delight in the things of God, he will fill our hearts with love, joy, and peace as he gives us the desires of our hearts.
Amen.
I love that promise,
Amen.
Too.
Amen. Friends, we hope you have been encouraged and inspired this morning and ready to go into your day.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for filling our hearts with great hope. As we continue on with this day, Lord, we're going to put our trust in you. You know our hearts. You know what we need the most. You know our greatest need. And we will turn to you, Lord, as we trust in you. Thank you for answering our prayers. Thank you for being so faithful to your promise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.